Good morning. It's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning to our services here at Blairland Baptist Church. Good to see everyone here today. I'm sure everyone's getting ready to turn our clocks back. That'll be happening pretty soon. I think November, first Sunday in November, so we'll be looking forward to that as well. So it's good to see everyone here today. We'll ask that you stand with us, please, as we open our service with He Keeps Me Singing. Good to see everyone here today. Join in with us.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweet name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Again, it's my pleasure to welcome you here today. If we have any visitors, special welcome to you this morning. Turn and greet each other as our pastor enters the stage.
Welcome, everybody, to our service today. I'm glad you're here to worship with us. We welcome those who are worshiping by Facebook and YouTube and radio today with us. We're glad that you have joined with us today. I'll be preaching today from Philippians chapter 4. I'll be talking about worry less and pray more. And I'll be explaining some of that to you and why I decided to preach a message like that. So we'll be doing that a little bit later. But again, we welcome you and thank you for being here today. May we pray together. Father, we thank you for this day of worship. This is the day that you've made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. Give us, Lord, today the power to worship you. As we worship you today, help us to remember your greatness and your love. Help us, Lord, to remember your kindness to us, because you are a great God and you're a compassionate God. And Lord, today we need you and we need your help. We want to honor you today as we think about who you are and what you are in our lives. And may we give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Just a few announcements to call attention to in your bulletin. You can see there's a ladies' night out planned Monday, October 25th at 6:30. Details are listed there. And on this Wednesday night, the 27th, we have a fall fun night for the kids, And I guess adults can share in the TikTok ice cream, which will be here. So we'll let them do some of that as well. So that'll be starting at 6 o'clock. And then there's also an announcement in there about the children Christmas shoe boxes, and they're outside my office. So the details are listed there. If you have any questions about that, you can see Leslie. The deadline for that is Wednesday, November the 10th, to get those boxes back in. And also, we're still having kids sign up for Upward Basketball and cheerleading. So we'll be having evaluations on November the 9th and November the 11th. So just keep that in your thoughts and prayers as well. We're going to continue with our singing this morning, two familiar hymns, Higher Ground and More About Jesus. So you join in with us.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on Jesus, would I know more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches and glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
Thank you. More about Jesus. As our pastor mentioned in his prayer, we need to be reminded and remember all the good things, all His faithfulness, goodness, kindness, compassion that God has shown to us. And that's what we're going to sing about. We will remember. That's a very familiar song, I'm sure, to many of you. If you'd stand with us, please, and join us on this song, you can sit on the next one. Join in with us. We will remember. Thank you.
remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our Creator, our life sustainer, Deliverer, our comfort, our joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop. Darkest valleys, we will look back at all you have done.
His faithfulness and all the good things he's done for us. As John writes in Revelation, John was upset because no one could open the scroll. And is anyone worthy was the question. And Jesus said he was worthy. So that's what this song is about. Is he worthy? You join in with us if you know it. Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? And do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? And is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? And is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Blessing and honor and glory. Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? And does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal? Open the scroll, the Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is Satan's ruler and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to die to reign with the Son. Father, you are so worthy. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. And you proved your love for us. And you are so worthy to open the scroll. We thank you for your sacrifice for our life, to give us eternal life for those that believe in you and accept you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for all the goodness and kindness and love you've shown us. We ask that you open our hearts as we receive your word today. Thank you for the opportunity to sing your praises. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, worship team. One announcement, deacons will meet today at 4 o'clock, so 4 o'clock for our deacons meeting. worry less, and pray more. That sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's a lot harder to put in practice than what we may think. The question that a lot of people are asking today is this: are we living in the last days? And I'm sure you probably thought about that question yourself. And the answer to the question is yes, we are living in the last days. The last days referred to in the Bible refers to that time of the church age. That's where we are today. We are in the church age. The last days began when Jesus Christ came into this world. They will culminate at what we call the rapture of the church when Jesus Christ comes again. So that's the day that we're living in, and we're looking for His soon return. Back in the first century, in 1 Peter 4:7, Peter said this. He said, "The end of the world is coming soon." Now that's Peter writing not long after the death of Christ and resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ. So in Peter's day, he felt like that he was living in the last days. No prophecy has to be fulfilled for Jesus Christ to return again. As believers, what we need to understand about the last days is this. There's going to be a lot of spiritual dangers that we're going to have to deal with in these last days. And we've got to be prepared for that. I read this quote from Erwin Lutzer, who is the pastor of the Great Moody Church in Chicago, Illinois. And here's what he had to say about it. "The days of casual Christianity is over." He's talking about the last days. "The days of casual Christianity is over. No longer is it possible to drift along hoping that no tough choices will have to be made. At this point in American history, any moral and spiritual progress will have to be won at great cost. So we need to stand firm and be faithful to what we know about the Lord and this book." So the question is, how do we live in what the Bible calls the last days, what Paul referred to as perilous times? How do we live in days like that? Well, the next few weeks, what I'm going to be doing is sharing with you some strategies from the Bible for living in the last days. And one of those strategies is how to overcome worry. And I'll be telling you why that's going to be a problem. So the real issue, I think, though, is what our spiritual condition is before God. In these last days, we need to be close. And we need to be close to the cross, and we need to have a close walk with Him, because it's not going to get any better, folks. I mean, the days are going to become more difficult. So I want to begin by talking about the problem of worry. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, listen to the verse. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Our world has become a more volatile and uncertain place to live. Where do we go for the answers we need in that type of world that we're living in? We go to the Bible. Amazon tracks information, and if you know, most people buy stuff from Amazon, but they have a way of tracking information on what people do with Amazon. But one of the things that they can do is track the Bible verses that people highlight when they purchase from Amazon. The verse or verses that most frequently are highlighted with Amazon are not probably the verses that we would think Psalm 23, John 14, places like that. But the most frequent verses that are highlighted are these two that I've read this morning from the book of Philippians. For whatever reason, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 has become, for most Americans, the go-to passage. Why is that? Because worry and concern has increased. People are anxious. There's a lot of anxiety in our world. So people are going to passages like this for help. Now, Jesus confronted worry in his Sermon on the Mount in John 5, in Matthew 6. But in Matthew 6, in that passage, there are six times in that passage that Jesus tells us not to worry. He tells us in verse 25, verse 27, verse 28, verse 31, and verse 34, not to worry. Now, Jesus only has to say something one time for it to be important. But here in one passage on the Sermon on the Mount, five times he tells us not to worry. Jesus is not saying, now listen to me, Jesus is not saying, and the Bible is not teaching that there are legitimate concerns that we should have. Jesus is not saying that there are legitimate fears that we should have. Jesus is not saying that we should forego any planning for the future. We should plan and prepare. Not saying that. But Jesus is saying that we should not worry about the future. Why? Because He holds the future in His hand. Now, there's a fine line between trust and faith and irresponsibility. Jesus is not saying we should be irresponsible when it comes to thinking about the future and planning and the things that we do. And He's not telling us that there are not going to be some concerns that we're going to have in life. Concern is a legitimate emotion that we all have. God's given us that emotion. Fear is a legitimate emotion because God has given us that emotion. But concern involves a clear-headed response to a situation or difficulty that we may face, whereas worry is an unhealthy fear about the future. And that's the difference. So Jesus is saying that we should not have an unhealthy fear about the future, but a lot of people today do. And they're fearing the future. They have a lot of fear about the day in which we live. So Jesus tells us three simple things in Matthew 6. He says it doesn't do any good to worry. Second, He says it's opposite of trust, that we should trust God to take care of us. And He says, thirdly, that we act like we have no Heavenly Father when we give ourselves to worry. In that passage, He talks about the birds of the air. And He says, if God takes care of your Heavenly Father, takes care of the birds of the air, will He not take care of you? And the answer to that question is yes, He will take care of us. And then He talks about worrying about the things of today and worrying about the future. And He says, why do that? Because you have a Heavenly Father who knows what you need. When it comes to God, what we need to understand about God is this. And this is something that we can't comprehend. God is past, God is present, and God is future. We think the future is something yet to be, but God's already there. And so that's what Matthew 6 is telling us, that God knows the future, and He has the future in his hands. But we're anxious about all kinds of things. We're anxious about our health. We have anxiety at times about job situations. Some people are anxious about retirement. Some people get anxious about the economy and finances. I think at times we all have anxiety about our children or grandchildren, things about that. And like I said, all those things, are legitimate concerns. But what happens is we become overwhelmed by that. I read an illustration this week that I think goes to the point that I'm trying to talk about. It was about Abraham Lincoln when he was president. And they were going through a lot of difficulty. His cabinet and President Lincoln, and they were having to make some hard decisions. A lot of people had a lot of concern about some things. And as the story goes, Abraham Lincoln stopped the conversation about what they were talking about. And he said, I want to tell you a story. And what Lincoln did was to go back to his early days of being a lawyer. Back then he talked about how that he would have to travel from community to community, town to town, village to village, to make a living as being a lawyer. Of course, back then, the travel was by horseback. You didn't have interstates and paved roads and all that. There's a very dangerous river that Lincoln would have to cross, and it was the Fox River. It was storming. It became nightfall. Lincoln was close to the Fox River, but he decided to spend the night at this tavern. So he found shelter there, food there, and also spending the night at the tavern that night was a Methodist elder who was pretty much a circuit rider for the Methodist churches in the territory there. And Lincoln asked him this question. He said, do you know about the Fox River? He said, yeah, I know about the Fox River. He said, I have crossed the Fox River many times. And Lincoln said, what can you tell me about crossing the Fox River? He said, I'm going to have to cross the Fox River tomorrow. And that elder said this. He said, I never think about the Fox River until I have to cross it. Jesus said in Matthew 6, why do we worry about all the things of the day? Why do we worry about all these things when we know that God has the future in His hand? We worry about so many things that maybe not even will happen or may happen or whatever. And that's what Lincoln was saying here in this illustration. There are some concerns, legitimate things that we need to think about, but why do we worry about those things before we even have to, or before we even have to deal with them? We have no Heavenly Father who cares for us. And so the question now is, how do we manage these worries of life? Well, the second truth in this passage that I'm talking about is the prescription of worry. We've talked about the problem of worry. Now, what is the prescription? Well, it's very simple, and it is being thankful in prayer. Thankful prayer is a way that we can manage our worry. Be anxious for nothing but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. I said in the beginning that I wanted to share with you some strategies for living in the last days. And one of those strategies is that we're going to have to learn how to manage worry. I never saw this verse until I started studying for this series. And I've read this, but I never saw it this way. But in Luke 21 and 34, here's what Jesus is telling us. In verse 34, but take heed yourself, lest your hearts be overcharged or weighed down. Lest your hearts be weighed down. And then he goes on to talk about the day that's going to come on you unexpectedly. And in verse 36, he said to watch and to pray. What Jesus is saying there is this. In the last days that we're living in, the closer we get to the time of Jesus coming again, there's going to be a lot more anxiety. There's going to be a lot more worry. There's going to be a lot more concern among people. And so Jesus is warning us here that in the days before His return, that worry is going to be a problem, that it's going to be something that's going to weigh down our hearts. So again, we're going to have to learn how to manage that and how to overcome that. So what is the answer? The answer is prayer. The answer is talking to the Lord. The answer is how that thankful prayer builds our faith. So Jesus tells us here that in these final days in which we're living, we're going to have to be strong. As Erwin Luther said in that quote that I shared with you in the beginning, the days of casual Christianity is over. To be a Christian now, you're going to have to be strong. And you're going to have to learn how to make it with some of these strategies that the Bible gives us. In this passage, there's three different words for prayer that are found. There's a general word for prayer. That's when we pray and worship to God, devotion to God, adoration to God. The second word for prayer found in Philippians here that we're looking at is a word that really focuses on our needs. And it focuses on our concerns. And then the third word is this. It's a word that refers to a precise request that you have with God when you pray. I mean, it's just something that is very specific that you pray about. So all that is covered right here in this passage. The worries of this life produce anxious days, sleepless nights. They distract us. They threaten our spiritual survival in these last days. And Jesus says in Luke that they can become a trap. The worries of life can become a trap. And what it does is dull us in a spiritual way. The Bible tells us in the last days that, you know, there'll be less love for God and the things of God. This worry that piles up among people can really dull your heart toward a love for God and a trust in God and faith in God. And that is the warning that Jesus is sharing with us. Whatever we make our decisions, we need to make our decisions in faith and leave it with God and trust God. Because a lot of decisions that we have to make cause anxiety, they cause worry, they cause fear, cause concern. But I do believe that the Bible tells us to pray, to trust Him, to put faith in Him, and then do the best we can with it and to put it in His hands. There's the third truth that I want to talk about, and that's the promise. What is the promise? The promise in anxious times, the promise for our worries, the promise for all our concern and fears in life is the peace of God. Verse 7 of Philippians 4, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love the way that verse ends. Through Christ Jesus. This peace is not within what we can do. It's not what we can accomplish. It's not what we can come up with. And our human mind really doesn't have the ability to understand the peace of God. I mean, we don't. How can we have peace living in the last days, but we can have that peace, but we can't explain it? I mean, it's just something that is beyond explanation to us, but it is the promise of God. We can't explain it. We can't analyze it. We can't comprehend it. The only thing we can do is experience. Amen. We can experience it, even though we don't understand it. And I praise God for that, that He gives us peace. And particularly in these last days that we find ourselves in, we can experience the peace of God. Jesus said difficult days are going to come. Perilous days are going to come. In the last days, it's going to get hard, going to get rough. And we can see, as David Jeremiah keeps reminding us in the series that he's been in, we can see the foreshadowing of these events in Scripture, how it could be fulfilled. I never understood how that a person that the Bible calls the Antichrist could control the economy of the world. But I can understand it now. I never did really understand how when the Bible talked about the mark of the beast, and the mark of the beast being 666, a number or whatever, I never understood how a world leader like the Antichrist could control the economy and control politics and control events in the world and countries in the world. I never understood that. But now we can see it. And we can see it through all the technology that we have in at our hands today, how things like that could come to pass. I knew and believed in plagues because the Bible talked about plagues and in the last days that there would be plagues. But I never understood how all that could work together to really shut down countries. But after COVID-19, I think we can see it. And we can understand it. These are going to be difficult days. But in the midst of difficult days, the Bible promises us that we can have peace. A peace that passes all understanding. This peace is unexplainable, but it's also unassailable. Paul said, "This peace will guard your hearts and it will guard your mind." God's peace will stand as a guard at your heart and at your mind to provide security against any assault that the devil may bring against us. Any worry, any confusion, any tension, any uncertainty, the peace of God will guard our minds and hearts against that. So, in closing, we understand legitimate fear because we're human. We all understand legitimate pain. There's going to be fear and pain in life. Why? Because we live in a broken world and we're human. And the reason Jesus addressed the issue of worry so much, and the reason the Bible speaks so much about it, is because the Lord knew that we'd have a problem with it. So what do we do? What do we do with it? I don't know that we ever get to the point to where we don't worry about things. I know we shouldn't. I know that. But I'm not there yet in my life. Maybe you are, but I'm not. But what do we do? Well, I think the first step is this, to totally commit our lives to Jesus Christ. I think that's the step. To put Him first in our life with all our needs, our concerns, our yesterdays, our todays, our tomorrows. Just commit all that to Him. And then as Matthew 6:34, what Jesus said there is this, the way you manage it, the way you manage the worry in your life, Jesus said, live one day at a time. Just live one day at a time. Deuteronomy said this, as your days are, so shall your strength be. So it's strength for every day that we need. Three words in Matthew 6 point to the way of victory. And I've tried to mark these and I go to these many, many times. But in Matthew 6:30, the word there is faith. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you a little faith? So the word there is faith. In Matthew 6:32, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The key word there is Father. Verse 33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The key word there is first. Father, our faith, Father, and first. Faith is trusting God to meet our need. Father is knowing that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for His children. And first is putting God in first in all our life to glorify Him and knowing that He will meet our needs. And then the result of that is this, that He gives us a peace that we cannot explain. Worry less and pray more. Let's stand for our time of invitation. Father, today, as we come to you in this invitation time, I pray that in faith that we could turn our concerns and fears and pains and worries over to you. Lord, I know it's not an easy thing to do. I know it's not. And I know we all have a struggle with worry. Father, what we've talked about today is how to manage that, how to control it. And the only way possible is through you. It's through our relationship with you, our faith in you, our trust in you. That's where it is. Lord, today I pray for those who need to take that step of commitment this morning. Those who need to totally commit their heart and life to you. Those who do not have a relationship with you, may they come today and establish that relationship. And fathers, believers today, we need to plan. We need to be wise. We need to make wise decisions. There are legitimate concerns that we have, legitimate fears that we deal with from day to day. But Lord, I pray that we would not let those things turn into a top of worry that dominates our life, a top of worry that just dulls us in a spiritual way. Lord, we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. And the caution and the danger that you give us here is that when it becomes such a battle to us and such a dominating thing in our life that it dulls us spiritually, it gets us off track. And Lord, that's not where we want to be. And help us, Lord, to stay close to you and to trust you in these last days. In your name we pray. Amen.
Just as I
I've been here at this church a long time, and they've, in my training, what I've been taught is, you know, you just need to be honest with people, and I've tried to be honest with you, and I'll just be honest with you, you know, this thing about worry is something that, you know, I'm not over that yet, and I still struggle with it at times, and it's, I think if we all would be honest, we all do, but I know the Lord will help us, I know that. And I know that we can bring our concerns and fears and pains and worries to Him, and He will help us. And He'll keep us on the right path in the way that we go. And that's my goal, and that's the strategy that I've tried to share today, is to trust and pray and do the best you can, make the best decisions you can, put your faith and trust in God. Okay? Praise team will come and close us in our benediction course.
Thank you, Pastor. As we close this morning, we remember all the things He's done for us, as we were saying about earlier. He's made something beautiful out of our life. We think this course will close with this today.
Something beautiful.
Dismissed.